This is Sacktown Sports.
Getting back into the Kings conversation. What has gone wrong for the Kings? And do they still have a chance to turn this thing around? And you still have a chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at 1 p.m. He will be performing March 29th at Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento. That is at 1 p.m. We will give you a chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj as we break down all things Kings and continue to give you updates on NFL news. No huge 49ers news yet, but there have been some fake accounts popping up and a couple people got. Do not get got if you can help it, as we discuss Coach Mike Brown and what he's been able to do these last couple years, Chris. And really, that word expectations has just been kind of used over and over and over again these last few months.
Yeah.
Right. And the question ultimately is, were they too high just from Jump Street?
Possibly. I mean, it was a big conversation all summer long. Like, should we expect the Kings to be building on what they were, or is this year going to be a year where maybe record-wise or standing-wise they take a step back but become more of a playoff-ready team? And I think the hope is that maybe that second thing is still just kind of panning out, and maybe, who knows, in the playoffs, like I kind of hinted at earlier, maybe there's still some hope that while the journey wasn't very fun, maybe the final destination will make the journey worth it. And maybe, and I would push back on that, because I think you would hope that if the Kings were losing these games, it's because maybe, you know, they're feeding Keegan Murray too much and trying to get him developed along the way. But that would be in the name of him playing so well in the playoffs and helping the Kings team in the long run. They're just losing games by being inconsistent, not making shots, not having people who should contribute to the outcome of the game. And, you know, so that's where the bit of that process kind of gets lost. I have a tough time saying that expectations were too high, because everybody's got their own individual expectations. But I would just say that maybe just in general, it's hard to, when you're in it day to day and these guys keep losing these games that are incredibly frustrating. But like our caller Corey said earlier, maybe it is important to just look at this thing from a bird's eye view and say, look, we're early in the process. Everything that these guys are picking up right now is experience, and you're not many teams, or if any, win a championship in the second year of their build. And so we got to be patient, and it's really tough to be patient at these times. But at the very least, again, to point at the perspective that Corey, our caller, had earlier, they're still going to make the playoffs. They're still going to have some really important games down the stretch. And we'll just it might be too early to pull the plug on all of this thing, like I think so many people are ready to do. And I'm just not there yet. And I think Corey, our caller earlier, is not there yet. And I think that we should still give these guys, even though it hasn't looked good, even though it hasn't been fun, I think we should give them a little bit of grace here, because they're still so young. They're still so early in their developmental process of this thing.
Yeah, and let's not forget now, okay, they're a half game back of the Suns, and the Suns, they still have a rough go of it.
Yes.
Okay, they still have a really rough April. If the Kings can just... they will get another opportunity. Five is probably cooked now.
Yeah,
because
Pelicans are playing really well.
Yeah, you're 2.5 games back, but you can still get to that sixth seed, and then you have Denver, who is now on their way up, and you have Karl-Anthony Towns, or you're not sure that situation. Yep. You slide into that sixth spot. Yeah, obviously the Timberwolves are going to be tough, but anybody is going to be tough. I would take that over the Nuggets.
You're right.
Yep, right?
Absolutely. So, you've already gotten proof of concept, right?
Exactly.
You've already beaten them a couple times.
Exactly. You don't have to deal with what you'd have to deal with going to Denver and everything
Altitude, too.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks. Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown some more gems from Saturday, where he is continuing to keep this thing in perspective and just discussing how people talk to him versus where they're actually at.
sometimes when people talk to me, they talk to me like we've arrived, like we're a 7-year deep playoff run type team. You got to think about it. We made the playoffs last year and lost in the first round. They make the playoffs for 17 or 16 or 15 years before that. And the guys that we have playing, look at their experience having deep playoff runs. Look at their experience having a decent season the year before, but now dealing with the expectations. There's a lot of newness that we're going through right now that we have to figure out, and we're more than capable of figuring out sooner than later.
I think that's interesting, too, because, yeah, I mean, we think of it from a team perspective, but even from the individual's perspective, like Kevin Herter's been to an Eastern Conference Finals. HB's been to the finals. I think Sabonis has maybe reached a second round once, and I'm not even confident about that. Like, just as a group, these guys have, like, you know, if we look at the other teams that the Kings are even competing with, put the Pelicans aside, but you mentioned Phoenix. Kevin Durant, who's been through it all, he understands he's going to have that team ready. And, you know, they're still struggling in a similar fashion as the Kings. The Dallas Mavericks, Luka in that team went to the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago. They have tons of experience. So the Kings are still learning a lot. And part of learning is taking these major lumps. I would just say, like, there are teams that have a lot of experience out there who are going through similar things. So, in a weird way, I would say that the Kings, at the very least, are probably doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. As terrible as that sounds, you're not just going to go from 16 years of nothingness to, oh my gosh, they have veteran savvy, they know how to operate, they know how to handle themselves in these games. You've got to go through it. And I think that's kind of a bit of what we're seeing now, is these guys learning how to deal with success. And there's absolutely levels to it. There's, you know, this basement level I would say they're at now, where you're no longer a joke, but you're a team that teams understand they're going to have to take you serious. But they're not at the level of Denver right now, who's finding out that every single night, it doesn't matter if you play the Pistons or if you play the Celtics, you're going to get their A-plus game because you're the defending champs. So I would just say the Kings are going through it right now, and I think Mike Brown is trying to remind us all that they're still early in this process, and they're going to take some lumps here. Things are probably going to get worse in general before they get better, and that's kind of what Jake Shapiro was telling us. He was saying it's really fun that first year, but then after that, you have to take so many lumps, so many learning lessons, and it could be first-round exits, it could be second-round exits, it could be Western Conference appearances, but you're going to take a lot of lumps, and it's not going to be fun until you eventually get to the top of the mountain. And I think that's just kind of where we're at right now, is we're in the first year of, man, learning lessons really is not fun.
Yeah, let's hear from Coach Mike Brown again, as you mentioned Denver, and he compares the situation in Denver. I see somebody on the text line doing the same thing. Let's hear what he had to say comparing the Kings and the Nuggets.
Sooner than later. And I've used this example already, but the reigning NBA champions, Mike Malone's a hell of a coach, good buddy of mine. He was in Denver for his first 3 years. I don't think they made the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, we obviously made the playoffs, had the number one offense, this and that. Everybody's patting us on our back, and we think we've done something, and we've been doing something for the last 20 years. And the reality of it is we haven't. So there's some steps that we got to go through, and we're not going to always come out on the right end with those steps. But if we don't, and especially if I feel we could be better than what we are, our team will get challenged, because that's what our job is, and we're capable of doing it. But there's a lot of newness that our guys are going through right now that they need to figure out, or we need to, not they, because I'm part of it, but we need to figure out sooner than later, because we're capable of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just think Coach is he's just trying to paint some perspective there, and I do think that he's feeling a lot of the pressure. And it is a good point. Like, you know, Denver, again, like you said, they didn't reach the playoffs Mike Malone's first 3 years. And I do think it's exactly the question you presented at the top of this segment. Maybe the three seed and the best offense in the NBA, as Mike Brown points out in that sound, maybe that just kind of threw off everybody's expectation. And instead of you know, instead of trying to, which I don't blame fans for at all. I mean, fans see what they see, and they're always going to want more or want better. But yeah, I think maybe that just kind of threw everybody's perception of what this team is or where they're at in the process a little out of whack. And what we're seeing this year is a little bit of regression to the mean. It's a little bit more of this is really where you are at and probably where you're supposed to be at in this process is you're crawling, you're scratching, you're there, but at the same time, you're not eating with the big dogs like you probably thought you were last year. And this is just a little bit of humbling, really. It is just, I think, the team, whether, you know, humble, I think being humbled, I think, might have a negative connotation to it. But I think it's just them fully grasping or understanding this is a long process and you're not just going to skip steps. Everybody has to go through a certain process to get to the top. And you guys didn't really go through much adversity last year, as everyone wants to point out. And this is a year where you're being faced with what the reality of a fully healthy Western Conference looks like.
Yeah, we have here from the 916, we are on the Denver arc. We still need our Aaron Gordon. And that's,
is that Brendan Nunes texting that?
Probably.
Because that's exactly what Brendan's been saying.
But my question is, just to be clear, you need to get an Aaron Gordon, but Keegan Murray will not be, because you think about that stopper,
right?
So to be clear, Keegan Murray is just going to be a really good defender and shooter, and you're not expecting Keegan Murray to be that Aaron Gordon stopper.
I wouldn't think so, but maybe he is. I mean, maybe they're okay with that happening, but I don't think that's the plan. I would think that he's probably like a better defensive Michael Porter Jr.
Right.
Or maybe right now, you don't have to reach the level of getting an Aaron Gordon defensively. Maybe like him and Keegan combined could be an Aaron Gordon level.
Right. Because right now, I think the worry here is that Keegan's offense is going to get stuck in the mud.
Yes. Which it's starting to feel like it.
Yes. Yes. And you definitely don't want that for a Kings team who had high hopes.
That's right.
For someone who set the record.
That's right.
Last season. When we return, we get into some pocket watching. TC, we see you on the line. Didn't want to have to cut you off, so we'll get to you right when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Continuing the conversation, we are 45 minutes away from your chance to see Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento, 916-339-1140. If you want your chance, that is at 1 p.m. Let's get out to TC, who's been waiting to have a conversation about what is going on with the Kings. What's up, TC? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Man, what's going on? Styles, Watkins, what's up?
Not much.
Not too much, man.
Well, just frustrated, man, that, you know, about, because, you know, when I was watching that game, I said, man, you know what? We finna win this game, man. We came out blazing. It's something about those 3 o'clock, the matinee games with the Kings. Seriously, like something about, I want somebody to do that. I might have to do that stat myself. I want to see what the record is when we play at those 12 o'clock games and those 3 o'clock games. The only one I can remember that was like outstanding was last year when we played the Clippers at 12 on that Sunday. That was the only game. Other than that, bro, we're losing. So I think when we're at home, bro, they have to make games at like 6 or 7. That's our normal time. This whole 12 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't work for us, brother. It really doesn't. We have a bad, bad record when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, TC.
And both teams got to play.
Well, both teams have to play. But it is a thing, though. The weird thing to me is that they were at home, though.
Yeah,
I'd be more so on that train if they had to go to Houston.
Sure.
I just think there's something about being at home that the Kings do not love. They get way too comfortable.
It's insane.
And
so
next thing you know, I feel like it's been the same thing to where they're winning for majority of the game, and then they basically lose a handle on it, and there's just enough time to not figure it out. Yesterday was a little bit different, but that's been basically the situation. You come out hot because you're at home, and then you say, oh, we have to continue to play basketball. And at that point, the other team is not worried about you anymore. And then you look up, and you've got about 8 minutes left to try to figure things out, and it's just not enough time.
Yeah, no, I mean, and what you're describing is how NBA basketball goes, though. Like, mm-hmm. I think that you're completely right, though. Their problem is they can't stop. Once teams go on a run, they just can't stop that run from happening. And that's defense. That is the fact that this team continues to try and play defense on the offensive side of the ball. They keep trying to hit threes and make their offense be the thing that's going to make it easier on the defensive end instead of starting on the defensive end. And, you know, you can understand how when runs happen, I described it like a faucet earlier because it feels like they just can't turn it off. And I don't know how this team is going to find success if they cannot stop teams from going on massive runs, because that's what this game is. And if you feel like, and I'm curious where a lot of people feel on this team's mental fortitude, if you don't feel like your team is mentally strong mm-hmm. and they don't play defense, well, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I think the Kings have flirted with that a lot here recently, with just not having the ability to shut things off and say, look, this run ends here because we're going to get two or three stops in a row and kill the other team's momentum. Sometimes it's not just about how you're doing. It's about how to stop the other team from getting what they want. I don't think the Kings concern themselves with that really much at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's coaches. I think it's the players.
Yeah. And you can't continue to just say the same things over and over and over again. We all know what is being said, and then nothing happens. Yeah. That is why the whole Coach Mike Brown thing, I guess the only other way somebody would look at it would be to say, hey, does he not have a voice anymore?
Yeah.
Right? That's the, if it's, as far as the X's and O's in the game plan, that's not on Mike Brown. If the conversation is now, are we sure that these guys are listening to the messenger? Is the issue the message or the right. messenger? Because I don't think it's the message, yeah. but he's having to say the same things over and over right. again. You never know, and it's kind of a go-to. Hey, has somebody lost a locker room? I don't think that's possible to go from what we saw last season and him sprinting and having all these
turn
memes,
the Jets on.
Turn the Jets on, all those memes, to now all of a sudden have lost a locker yeah. room. I don't see that. I know there was that thing yesterday with Malik being upset. That's and right. I don't know that that was necessarily because he got taken out.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got confirmation on that, but I don't think that's where that was headed. But clearly something is amiss.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there saying, if honestly, coach could have used it as a cop out to say, we're doing the best we can with our defenders. He's trying to stand on business and say, we can defend better. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's a really, really rough situation right now. It feels like they can't get out of their own way. And you know, I think you're right. Like the scary thing is, to what you're saying, is we don't think that Mike Brown has lost the locker room, but this is what happens when you play inconsistently like you do, and you keep, and Mike Brown does keep saying the same messages, these questions get brought up, rightfully so or not. And I think that's the reality of sports, is sometimes teams don't realize how urgent things are until it's too late. And I'm not saying the Kings are at this point right here, right now, but the fact that it's sounding like Mike Brown's positioning just in general is being questioned, bad play leads to things happening. And whether it's the player's intention or not, they might get a coach fired. I don't think they will here. But if this thing starts to roll over into next year and we still are here saying, like, I think Mike Brown's saying the right things, it's just these guys aren't listening, even if it's a different crop of guys, the finger's going to be pointed at Mike Brown, and he could – now, I don't even really want to say it because it's getting way too ahead of ourselves, but he could lose his job because the players really are the ones not doing it.
Yeah, and that's why this whole thing becomes – a Monty McNair conversation
exactly.
this summer.
Yes, 100%.
I don't think we even have a conversation about Mike Brown until after next season.
Yep.
Assuming that this will not be the same roster next season.
Yeah.
This is on Monty McNair to go to work and say, okay, this is what we've been missing, a collaboration with Mike Brown, whatever it is, to get him the pieces that the Kings feel that they are missing. And then next season, if you're still, you got a new crop of players in here to mix with some of the people that have been here, and it's still not working, then we can have that conversation. But as of right now, I think Mike Brown is trying to do the right thing and say the right things as far as defensively and kind of taking it back to that defense's effort thing. But there's a line, and I don't know. They can play better, but I don't know how much better defensively.
Yeah,
it's just we're saying the same things here. Mm-hmm. He's saying the same things here.
No, and I think to your point, like, I would want to start questioning Monty McNair. I've trusted Monty McNair fully up until this point, and I still am going to trust that he's going to fix this situation. But I think Mike Brown's been telling us in the media subtly and not so subtly. It's definitely stopped pretty hard after the trade deadline. But I think he's been telling us for a while he doesn't believe that the guys that he has out there are the right collection of guys. I think that's evident through, I mean, what, JTA was here for 2 weeks and he was not afraid to throw JTA out there. I'm sure he felt like, yes, this is exactly the type of guy I need, and I'm going to play him to show you guys this is what I'm looking for as a guy like this. And you're right. Like, if we're doing a blame pie, which we're not, but I would put a lot more blame on Monty McNair for the situation we're in right here, right now, than Mike Brown.
Yeah, and it's not even about the quote-unquote blame. It's just like, you know now that this thing has a ceiling.
Yes.
So you cannot go into next season with it.
Yes, the ball is now in Monty's court.
Yes, maybe, exactly. You had to go through this season to get there, but unfortunately, that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And they still can make some noise. Let's not get it twisted. They still can make some noise. When we return, we get into some pocket watching. Who's playing tonight and who can either help the Kings or hurt them? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Time to pocket watch. Let's see here. Oh, by the way, more movement with the Packers. We thought that there was going to be some thunder and lightning with Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is no longer a Packer.
See ya. Yeah. That was pretty surprising. Aaron Jones has obviously been with that team for a really long time, and he's always just been Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable. He was the guy that, you know, even, you know, if you look at the last time, not this past season, but the last time the Niners played the Packers in the playoffs, he was a huge part of their team then, and he was probably a part of, you know, the when Kaepernick played the Packers. He's been with that team and been a major contributor with them for a really long time. You know, he's kind of like their this generation's Ahmad Green, if you will. I know way too much Packer information, but yeah, it was really surprising to see them let go of Aaron Jones. I guess him and Josh Jacobs, you could say, are a bit redundant, but I still think Aaron Jones is one of the best two-way in terms of receiving and rushing running backs that there is in the NFL. So somebody's going to get him, and they're going to really like what they get with him.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw what he did to the to the Niners.
That's right.
So a lot of movement. The carousel continues to move around.
This is almost too much from the NFL.
There's been a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah, there's been a tiny, I would say, a bit of a lull these last 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Any concern?
I'm fiending.
For the Niners haven't done anything from you two?
Not from me, but there's definitely a lot of people concerned right now.
Yeah, there's some linemen that have gone by, offensive linemen that have gone by that I'm a little surprised the Niners haven't looked at. But how about you, Nate? I mean, how much have you been paying attention to free agency and what the Niners might need? what they've actually gone after.
I have a really hard time after a playoff exit, a Super Bowl. I mean, now that it's work, I gotta, you know, pay attention more. Right. But really, I don't care that much unless it's a bombshell. I usually kind of let it go and tap back in. You know, training camp, be like, okay, this is new guy. Unless obviously it was like Javon Hargrave last year or something, something really, really big, which usually doesn't happen, like a giant move.
Right.
Or retirement or whatever. But it's kind of something you already had on the mind before the season happened or before all this happened. Right now, I'm not worried at all. O-line, we've talked about this a bunch on the show, scarce in the NFL, but people need it.
Yes.
So it's going to be really tough. You saw the Niners extend Colton McKivitz.
Yep,
people were not happy about that. Yeah. But it's like, dude, he's a solid player.
He's a body.
Yeah. Like, a fine move, a good move, even. I'd say someone would pay him. He's an O-lineman with skills. He's still coming up. I'm waiting for the draft, you know? I don't think they need a bombshell. Bosa, brother Bosa, would be pretty big, but I think it's more of a name than a logical move, maybe. Unless the money's there, it's like, if you got it, spend it.
Yeah, right. I'm curious, Nate, too. Sorry. On Friday, we talked a little bit about Odell being rumored to the Niners. Doesn't seem to be the biggest need, but Emil informed me that apparently that's been a thing for a while now, that the Niners have had interest in Odell, kind of like Kirk Cousins in a way. But does that move the needle for you at all?
No, I mean, really, he's right. They flirted with him before on a lighter level, but in that moment, I think it was more of an excitement thing. I feel like it was more of a trade deadline move for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was before he went to the Rams, honestly. I could be wrong on that. But it doesn't move the needle unless Ayuk goes.
Right.
And it's like, all right, we'll give it a shot. But Juwan has to go too. Like, let's say you have these three dudes right now and you add Odell, that's not good. That's honestly might make the team worse.
Yeah. I don't think Odell would be happy in that situation.
No. And then he's so injury prone.
Right. That too.
The only way if Ayuk's gone, or if, God forbid, there's a bad injury.
And even then, Odell didn't look great last year.
No. And Juwan Jennings, very happy with Juwan Jennings right now.
Yeah.
He showed up in the Super Bowl. I just got my Kayla's last name is Jennings. I got her dad a Juwan Jennings jersey from one of the knockoff websites.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know where you would find
that. Yeah. I'm super I'm not too worried yet. It's still very early. The Niners, I don't think, need to make a big splash like you guys were saying earlier. I think they need to tweak. And the big move they did was defensive coordinator. So I think it's kind of over. But if they did something big, I'd be pretty shocked.
Right here, trying to get double confirmation, but it looks like from Mike Rothstein, who does ESPN for the Atlanta Falcons, or is a part of ESPN for the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons have agreed to terms with Charlie Warner. It's a 3-year deal worth $12 million. Charlie was he most famous for the Brock Purdy thing?
The what?
Against the Eagles? Why was he blocking Hassan Reddick?
Oh, yeah.
So,
So they already don't throw to Kyle Pitts. So, all right. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Didn't really catch a lot of balls here anyways.
No.
But, yeah.
He didn't every now
Hard
and
to
then.
Spell that dude's last name, too. I've had to spell a couple times. Not easy.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
Speaking of hard to spell last names, did you see the Juszczyk news this morning? Not
yes.
big. But they're talking about the potential of a restructure and not getting rid of him. So
there you go. Well,
we'll see.
Well, they're trying to restructure. Basically, it's going to say, hey, you want to take less money? And my guess is that he'll say yes, because they just saw what happens when you don't say yes. Right.
It'll be interesting.
And, well, now they have that money and the fullback position is scarce in the NFL, so his options might be very limited. He'd have to probably go to a Shanahan guy, a D'Amico Ryans, Saleh, Mike McDaniel for sure. That if he gets released, my guess, 100, I'd put I would bet the house on him going, metaphorically, of course, on him going to Miami.
And Alec Engel, on the Dolphins, so, all right, do you need to run two fullbacks there? We talked to him when we were in Vegas. So, but that's the reason I bring that up, because Mike McDaniel, that would be another potential spot
as well as we continue to pocket watch, and we will keep you up to date on any other news that comes through from the NFL. Suns at Cavs tonight. Phoenix, 4 of 5 games. Cleveland, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly.
Eek.
Mavs at Bulls. Look, the Bulls, they kind of figured something out against
a little bit.
The Kings.
Yeah.
They went on to beat the Warriors after that. So please continue to do so. Dallas' next 3 games, Golden State Warriors, OKC, and Denver. Warriors at Spurs tonight. You would think that they get that done, but I believe it would be no Steph Curry rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
And Raptors at Nuggets, and you got to think that the Nuggets are going to take care of business.
That's right.
So even though Donovan Mitchell is now no longer eligible for postseason awards, I believe he's missed too many games, hopefully the Cavs can take care of business tonight against the Suns.
That's
and
right.
The Kings are right back in this thing.
We're rooting for our boy D. Wade tonight, right?
That's right.
We got to hope Dean Wade pulls out another miracle from his set, from his bag of tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tonight is probably the lightest it's going to get for the Suns. I'm honestly to the point where maybe I'm wrong and shouldn't do this, but I'm almost saying the Suns aren't really in the competition for 6. I just think they would have to, like, their strength of opponent is so tough. And they would have to play so well to just stay in line with the Dallas Mavericks and the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they would be my least favorite in terms of, you know, betting order to make it that 6 seed. Like, I'm with you. I think the Pelicans seem to be in pole position to lock down that 5 seed. But when it comes to that 6, it's a 3-team race for 1 spot. And if you look at Phoenix's strength of schedule the rest of the way, it's brutal. And so I feel like it's going to really end up coming down to the Kings having those 2 games against the Dallas Mavericks later in this season. Mm-hmm. Something tells me that those 2 games are going to really determine. They play Dallas on the 26th and then again on the 29th of March. I think those 2 games are really going to be huge in just determining who ends up getting that 7 and who ends up getting that 6. And I'm not really leaning any way right now, but I just don't feel like Phoenix has the horses to get this thing done.
Those games against the Mavs, are those home or away?
They're both home. Both home. Yeah. So they will be in Sacramento.
Do they have to be?
Yes. Yes, they do. They do have to be, unfortunately. And they are also coming after. At least here's the partially good news, is that they at least have a home game in between them after the road trip. So they play the Orlando Magic on the 23rd. And then play the Sixers on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So at least, as we know, the Kings have problems with those homecoming games.
Right.
Get that homecoming game out of the way. Get that loss out of the way, essentially. And then they can really focus up. But here's where it gets tough. Even though it is the second game of the homestand, it is a back-to-back. So they will play the Sixers on the 25th, and then a back-to-back with the Mavericks on the 26th. And then play the Mavericks again on the 29th.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's not ideal. But at the same time, you know, that's an opportunity that you honestly should be loving. Like, that's a real chance to possibly create some real separation at home.
Mm-hmm.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it hasn't been an advantage this year, but in a game like that, in a little mini playoff series, like a couple weeks before the actual playoffs start, that's going to be a huge little test to where this Kings team is at. And I'm excited for it, but at the same time, I'm also deathly terrified that it's only a couple weeks away.
We will see
what
happens, but now the Kings get to kind of relax. They have 2 big ones coming up, and the Lakers are I never feel good about games against the Lakers. I never feel good about games against the Lakers or LeBron when something is on the line.
Sure.
And after what happened in L.A., you know they're going to be hungry. I know the Bucks are in an interesting spot in the East because, obviously, Giannis's health is most important. They're
right.
A half game ahead of the Cavs. So you know they want to hold on to that. But at the same time, you know they're done, they really can't catch the Celtics. So
right.
They're just trying to nurse that second seed, but you don't want to push. And they're pretty safe. They're 4 games or 4.5 games ahead of the Knicks. So they're
at worst, unless they just fall off a cliff, they'll be the three seed. So you would think that the Bucks would rather be the three seed and have Giannis healthy than limp into the two seed and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
No pun intended. When we return, continuing the conversation. A little bit of college talk as well. Sac State trying to make some moves, and should the Niners be in on some Chargers pass rushers? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
This is Sactown Sports.
We will give away tickets to see Hasan Minhaj in 15 minutes. That is in 15 minutes. And we have a story here from Jennifer Lee Chan talking about not one Bosa, but two Bosas being in the Bay. This is from Jennifer Lee Chan. If Joey ends up a casualty of the Chargers salary cap tightening, there is a chance that the Niners could make a Bosa collaboration a possibility. A trade for Joey would be too pricey for the Niners, likely costing multiple draft picks, not to mention a salary of $22 million in 2024. But if the Chargers cut the four-time Pro Bowler, the 49ers and Bosa's representation could broker a much more fiscally friendly contract. The Niners' defensive line accounts for the highest percentage of the club's spending and currently is projected at 23.3% for the 2024 season. At almost 29 years old, Joey could be willing to sign a short-term deal to not only play with Nick, but to have a chance at playing deep into the postseason. In Joey's nine NFL seasons, he has seen action in only three playoff games, while his younger brother has been on the field in 12 postseason contests, including two Super Bowl appearances.
I mean, it makes sense if you can make it happen, and you know, more so if the Chargers can make it happen, because there's just a lot of rumors and reports out there that I guess the Chargers are very much hitting their head on the cap ceiling and are going to be looking to move off of a lot of their more expensive guys. It's not just Bosa, but also Khalil Mack as well. And I think Austin Eckler has been thrown in that mix as well. It'll be interesting. It makes sense. I mean, you know, obviously the Niners brought in Chase Young last year and feel like if you can take the double teams away from this is going to be a nightmare to have Nick and Joey on the same line and trying to differentiate the two and keep the two separate in my head, but I'll try. To try and keep Nick on single coverage as much as possible, it makes sense to try and stack the line so that he is facing those single coverages. And, you know, having Joey on the other side, it makes a lot of sense. You get some great moments for sure, but he's still an elite pass rusher. And, especially if he's cut, it's pretty much like the Russell Wilson thing where he doesn't need to make a big salary with the Niners because he'll be getting paid by somebody else. So, could make sense, but at the same time, it's all reliant on the Chargers being the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that if you are – I'm just very confused with the whole pass rushing thing. I thought that the Niners were supposed to be set up for success this season.
Right.
And they couldn't get to the quarterback.
Yep.
So I don't know, and you know, you can blame it on Wilkes or whoever, but to me, you have bigger fish to fry than this.
Absolutely.
But I mean – sure, you move on from Eric Armstead, I get it, but it feels like on the list of
priorities,
it can't be that high on the list.
Absolutely, yeah, completely. Like, it's almost like, I mean, it's in a weird way, I do want to correlate it to, like, the Kings being in on Chris Murray, where it's like, is that really the place where the Kings need to improve the most, or are you just rooting for the storyline? And I think it's fine to root for the storyline. It's a really fun one, but... and, you know, maybe you could argue the Niners are in a position to where they can have a little bit of fun and have their cake and eat it too. And, you know, I think Bosa would still be a big contributor. But like you said, I mean, they invested so much into the defensive line last year and got minimal returns for it, I know this isn't going to be for a lot of money, and that's really the only way that Jennifer Lee Chan says it can happen. But, it'd be pretty wild if that's the thing. Again, as Nate's talking and as we've been talking, like, waiting for the Niners to make a move, if the Joey Bosa move is your biggest move, I just don't know how well that lands with the fan base.
I think people would like it. I think, how should I put this? I think fans that are into the names,
yeah,
and
the jerseys,
cool,
yeah,
the jerseys,
yeah, right.
Yes. But I think that a lot of more hardcore fans, yes, would say this is not necessarily what we needed.
Exactly.
But we'll take it. This is from, I got to double check here, but this is from Ari Marov, and this is the correct one, not the fake account. The Texans are expected to sign Jeff Okuda, cornerback, to a 1-year deal.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, he, if I'm not mistaken, was a really high pick, if I'm not mistaken, by the Lions a couple years back, and then just kind of never panned out. Or I think he found the injury bug, or the injury bug found him. That's not bad. I mean, you know, D'Amico, for sure, as we know, is a defensive mind. And that Texans team, I think, you know, we talk about the Kings being ahead of schedule. I wonder where the Texans feel like they're at with how well they played last year, what they won a playoff game. So, you know, do they feel like with C.J. Stroud, now they're another team that falls into where the Niners are? They got a guy on a rookie scale contract.
That's right.
You only got so many years to take advantage of it. And I wonder, you know, if maybe we start to see the Texans dip their toe into making some splashes here. It makes sense. You are still a team in Texas, so you get all the advantages of you know, those tax breaks and everything. And, of course, Texas, as we know, loves football. So it'd be interesting to see if the Texans have more success than the Cowboys do in a shorter period of time.
Man.
Oh, boy. Wait for the memes.
Can't wait. And, you know, the one part or piece that happens when you do open that door or open that window, there's no closing it.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's a great point, because the Kings, they opened that window last season, and you can't close it now.
Yeah. Yep.
You cannot go back.
That window of opportunity.
That window of opportunity. What's expected out of De'Aaron Fox? What's expected out of Sabonis?
Right.
Keegan Murray? It's open now. The Texans, it was closed.
Yeah. Completely.
Panthers,
no one was thinking about the Texans having success for years.
Now, all of a sudden, okay, the timer starts.
Yeah.
The
instantly.
Timer starts. If Mike Brown, if they hadn't made the playoffs, it's two different timers.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make the playoffs, it's, hey, your timer
to be successful
is already starting. Then once you have success, it's, hey, it's your timer to see how
far can
you take this. And if you're the Texans, you probably didn't think the timer was going to start.
The
Panthers, their timer hasn't started at all.
No, they're still trying to find the timer.
Exactly.
Like,
they
I know we put that thing somewhere.
They're on a completely different level. So I think that's one thing with the Kings and Mike Brown, when he talks about the expectations, when he says the Nuggets, again, different timer.
Yeah.
The first three years,
yeah,
they did not make the playoffs.
Yep.
Then you do, and it's, oh, we got a guy in Jokic. We got to win this thing.
Yeah.
For them to come in as that three seed, it messed up everybody's equilibrium as far as what is realistic.
Yeah.
And now we're getting a dose of reality, and hopefully next season – this season just had to set up for next season, unfortunately, in terms of a championship. You can still have fun. We'll still be partying in the streets of Sacramento if the Kings win around. But it's just, you know, that this is the second installment, and you're hoping that next season is going to be the big one.
You just kind of sparked something in me there, too, where I hope we still can have fun. Even if this team ends up in the play-in, like, we should celebrate. Like, we absolutely, as a city or as a fan base, like, just celebrate. Because if that's as good as it's going to get, well, we better enjoy it. You know, we better milk it and say, you know, at least we got something to show out of this season where there was a lot of moments where we weren't sure. We weren't sure if we were going to get anything. So even if it does look stupid, and I know, you know, even now you'll see that Patrick Beverley jumping on the scores table and throwing his shirt or throwing the towel into the crowd, and it's a meme. Like, I think Sacramento really should, if the Kings get into a play-in situation, which I don't think any of us want, but if they make it out of it, like, let's celebrate it. Because realistically, we should be celebrating every single success we can get because we just haven't had it. And realistically, you don't know how much longer, when that window is going to close. It can close a lot sooner than you think. Weird things can happen. Other teams can leapfrog you. You can get injured in a given year. I mean, we saw what happened with the early 2000s team. That team didn't think it was going to end in 2003, but Chris Webber's knee injury pretty much sealed the deal. And then they move on the very next season. So it's or a season or two after. Things can happen fast, and so you should absolutely take the victories as they come. Even if it's not what was expected at the beginning of the year, it doesn't mean that we can't fully appreciate what they do. So I do think that that is a really important perspective, and I hope that even if the Kings are in the play-in and they win it, I hope we do party all the way down Doko.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, this season has just been a little bit of a dose of reality, not in a bad way, but you still have a team that's in the mix. Yeah. You're not in the dumpster. You're not to the point now where you're hoping that draft picks will pan out. Maybe a little bit with Keegan Murray, but you have enough to compete.
That's right.
Now, you hope that the team figures it out and competes more often than they have been, but there are so many other situations to be in to where there's just no hope, and you do have, at the very least, a little bit of hope. Continuing to break down the Kings and NFL free agency when we return. Also, it's time for the giveaway. Hasan Minhaj tickets, your chance to win them. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.